The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
On ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, Matt Jones and Joe Fortenbaugh are in for Max, and you can give us a shout, 888-SAY-ESPN. I like when you folks call. A lot of you are interesting. Some of you aren't, but in general, a lot of you are interesting, and I like it. 888-SAY-ESPN. You can be a part of the Max Kellerman Show Nation on the Dr. Pepper call line, 888-SAY-ESPN, and ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. If you watched any of the college games last night, you saw a lot of Joe Theismann in that Dr. Pepper commercial, which got me very excited. Joe, I enjoyed watching the college games last night. It felt like the world was back.
Great to have it back. Great to have it back indeed. Ohio State with a little bit of drama early in the game. Will Minnesota be able to spring the upset? Well, that lasted for about a half before the Buckeyes reminded us they're one of the best in the country. UCF Boise State with the great comeback. Congratulations to Gus Malzahn in his debut with the Central Florida Knights. That was a great comeback, and that was a great game late. And then there was some drama for the gamblers out there in the UNLV Eastern Washington game, Matt, here in Las Vegas. There were like 10 points.
Yeah, 10
points scored in the first half. 10 points scored in the first half, and it ends up going over thanks to an explosive second half plus overtime.
Yeah, Tennessee Bowling Green was my degenerate gambler moment. Tennessee, it was a 37.5-point spread. Tennessee was up 32. I had Bowling Green to cover. Tennessee, rather than kneel, tried to score and then fumbled inside the 10, which is what they deserve, those dirty Vols, for trying to keep me from winning. But before we get to any of that, it is time to talk a little NFL, and it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We are, I guess, 6 days away from the start of the NFL season, so I'm going to go over some questions to get going, to ask Joe so that he will let us know what we should care about. And I'm going to start with week one, when the biggest games are on tap, which one game are you most excited about in week one?
So it's easy to say Dallas-Tampa Bay to kick off the season, Green Bay-New Orleans, or even Kansas City-Cleveland. Those are all great selections. Personally, I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers because there are a lot of questions on both sides here. Number one, can Buffalo sustain what they put together last season? Can they build upon it? And can they handle what should be a good Pittsburgh Steelers team in week one right out of the gate? On the flip side, Ben Roethlisberger, this looks like the final year. He's dropped some weight. He's come in lean, but it's a completely different offensive line. You've got a new running back in Najee Harris out of Alabama who you drafted in the first round. Can the Steelers make a run at Buffalo in week one? I think that is going to be one of the most compelling games because Buffalo is a 6.5-point favorite, and I think that point spread's a tad too high.
Game's in Buffalo, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah, see, I think Pittsburgh could be still a really good team and not win in Buffalo. I mean, there are how many teams in the NFL can win in Buffalo? I don't think there's very many. That's why, for me, it's Kansas City and Cleveland because I think this is a chance for Cleveland to tell us what they are as a team, right? Like, if Cleveland is a contender, and I don't buy it. I think Cleveland's going to be good. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I do not think they're a contender. I think there's a chance Kansas City comes in and shows them that they're not a contender, that this is the moment they say, all right, Cleveland, it's nice. It's a great story. You all are good people. Dog pound. I got it. But we are the Chiefs. We could have won last year, maybe should have won last year, and we're the favorites this year.
I think there's two things to keep an eye on with that game. Number one, great point on Cleveland. They had an 11-5 record last year despite a negative point differential. Despite being 11-5, they were actually outscored over the course of 16 games. That's a big red flag. And for Kansas City, Andy Reid has been exceptional in the month of September. When he has additional time to prepare for an opponent, he's one of the best in the business. Cleveland is going to have its hands full at Arrowhead that day.
Great point about I don't know what his record is in week one. You may, but over the course of time, I bet it's really good. Let's go to the surprise team in the NFL this year. We hear all this talk about the favorites. Which is a team that maybe doesn't get talked about as much that you say watch out for?
The Carolina Panthers. Darnold. Yeah, Sam Darnold. I wanted to go deep on this one. There were a couple others I was considering, and then I thought, you know what? Let's go for broke. It's Friday. We're having a good time here on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones and Joe Fortenbaugh. Look at how we slide a plug into there as well. So ultimately, Carolina last year, it's the first year of head coach Matt Rhule who came over from Baylor. right? You're in a COVID year. It's a pandemic. You don't get a ton of time to work with your players. It's to be expected that it could be a bit sluggish. And there was a lot to like about what happened last year, despite the fact that Christian McCaffrey was lost for the season with the knee injury. The defense lost Luke Kuechly, its captain, its leader, one of the best players in the business, and they actually got better. They were 18th on total defense, 18th in scoring defense. They went out and they drafted J.C. Horn at cornerback. They made some key signings like Hassan Reddick at linebacker. The defense is going to be better because that is Rule's forte. He's a defensive-minded head coach. You bring in Sam Darnold. We saw what happened when Ryan Tannehill got away from Adam Gase. He became an above-average quarterback. I think the same can happen with Darnold. They put some weapons around him. McCaffrey's back. I think Carolina is going to surprise some people this year.
I think for that one, it all depends on how much you believe in Sam Darnold. If you think there's something there, then I like that pick, especially because of McCaffrey being out last year. But if you don't, then they're not going to be good. So I think really whether you agree with that or not is a Darnold question. My surprise team of the season shouldn't be a surprise, but I've heard over and over, including by you and I, talk about the Rams and the 49ers and the West, but I think everybody's forgetting Seattle. I don't see any reason Seattle couldn't be in the Super Bowl. Now, I don't think they will, but they could be. There's no reason once you get past those two quarterbacks in the Bays, Green and Tampa, that they can't be the next best team. I think people just skip over them and immediately go, well, Matthew Stafford is in L.A., San Francisco's got a great team in Jimmy G, but why not Seattle? Why, Joe, can't Seattle be the third best team? And if you're the third best team, you've got a shot at going to the Super Bowl.
When Russell Wilson is your starting quarterback, when Pete Carroll, who's been to multiple Super Bowls, is your head coach, when you showed the progress they showed from the first half of the second season to the second half of the season on the defensive side of the football, yes, you absolutely have an opportunity to surprise some people. And remember something, they fired offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer and brought in Shane Waldron from L.A. He was working under Sean McVay. That could be something that gives this offense the boost they needed late in the season last year because they really fizzled down the stretch.
The third thing, what team, if we talked about surprise, who's the most overrated? Who's the team that's getting a lot of love that you don't like? I'm going to go first because I already said it. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns. I think they're a playoff team, but I think they might not win the division. I think you hit the key stat. Look under the numbers, 11-5, but overall negative points. That means they won six more games than they lost, but still scored less points than the other teams. That says to me they won a lot of close games. That stuff tends to even out over time unless you have an elite, elite quarterback. I think Baker's really good. I don't know if he's elite, elite. So I'm saying the Browns, while good, maybe making the playoffs, are overrated as a Super Bowl contender.
So this is going to be a little bit awkward because my overrated team is your surprise team, which is the Seattle Seahawks.
And oh, well, that shows you that. Who are you? What are you doing? Now you can't throw me under the bus like that.
All good points on Seattle. The one thing that stands out to me about the Seahawks is if you go back to 2019, from then until now, they are 19-6 in one-score games. 19-6. Over a large enough sample, you should be about 500 in one-score games because that means every now and again you make the game-winning field goal. Every now and again you miss it. Every now and again the opponent makes it. Every now and again a two-minute drive fails. Every now and again two-minute drive succeeds. You should be over a large enough sample 500. When you are this far off the average like that and you are 19-6, I think the bottom is set to fall out at some point for the Seahawks. There's a lot to like about them, but given the division and given everything I just laid out, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a step back this season.
I don't like you. I don't like you anymore. Every now and again you make bad opinions, and that was one of them. NFL MVP, you know, there's the usual choices, but Joe, which one are you taking?
Matthew Stafford at 20-1. When you look at the history of this award, you have to understand you're not going to win the MVP going 8-8. You're not going to win the MVP missing the playoffs. I'm sure it's happened before, but generally this award goes to a one seed, a two seed, somebody who's in very serious deep contention, much like Aaron Rodgers last year and Patrick Mahomes, I believe, 3 years ago, and Lamar Jackson 2 years ago. The last 3 years, all those guys have been a top two seed, I believe. So you need a good team. The Rams are going to be a very good team. They had the number one total defense, number one scoring defense last year. And I think Stafford over Goff is a bigger upgrade than people realize. In the Sean McVay system, Matthew Stafford with those weapons and that defense is going to have the opportunity to shine like he has never before. And if you thought he was able to, if you liked him in Detroit, you're going to love him here. At a price of 20-1, I'm shocked, because I think the narrative is going to be great for him too. You need the media narrative around the player, and a lot of people are going to go goo-goo for this guy because he's such a good dude. He's such a good dude, and you're going to see that on full display in Los Angeles this year.
Stafford is my sleeper pick, too. I just put a hefty chunk of change on him the other day.
Nice.
So I like that one. But I'm going to pick, my actual pick is Patrick Mahomes. I know that's not a huge revelation, but everyone's talking about Josh Allen. I believe he's the odds-on favorite. That's when I look at Patrick Mahomes and say, and see him saying, come on, did you forget about me? You forgot about Dre. I mean, Tom Brady won. It should have been me. And now you're going to talk about Josh Allen. I'm the best player in this league, and he's going to show it. It's hard for the best player in the league to win it because they want to give it to new people. It's just the nature of the thing. But I think in this case, he's going to have such a good year that they can't help themselves, and Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. Rookie of the year, they do it offense and defense. So I'm going to go deep here and say, can you give me an offensive and defensive rookie of the year?
Let's start with the offensive side of the ball. I really want to go Trey Lance. I just don't think he's going to play enough games in order to win the award. So I've got to find a guy who's going to play from mostly the start of the season all the way through and hopefully stay healthy. I'll go Jets quarterback Zach Wilson at 7-1. Trevor Lawrence is your favorite here, and for good reason. I think that offensive line in Jacksonville is highly suspect, and I think there's a risk of injury there, especially with a rookie head coach in Urban Meyer who has not coached in the NFL before. Now, you go to New York with Wilson. There are plenty of concerns regarding his arsenal and everything else, but Robert Saleh, the head coach, a defensive mind, made a very good move by bringing in the younger brother of Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike LaFleur, who was with him in San Francisco. He was the passing game coordinator, I believe, under Kyle Shanahan. And if you can run an offense like Kyle Shanahan can run an offense, you can move the ball down the field and you can score some points. Zach Wilson at 7-1 would be my offensive rookie of the year. Throw me your offensive rookie of the year, and then I'll come back with my defensive.
My offensive one is tough because you want to do the quarterbacks. I mean, because with five rookie quarterbacks, you got to assume one of them is the most likely winner. But you know what? I'm going off the quarterback board. Give me Najee Harris. I think he's going to put up a huge amount of yards. I think all these quarterbacks are either going to get hurt or struggle. I think you got to go at least 8-8 to win that award. And I'm not sure any of them are going to do that except Trey Lance. Maybe Mac Jones. He would be my second pick, not because I think he's great, but because I think the team will do well. And then on defense, I'm going to rep the Kentucky Wildcats. Jamin Davis, the linebacker from Washington. He's put in a perfect position. He's playing with the defense that's already great. Then he gets to come in at that middle linebacker spot and get all the tackles. So all these dudes are going to take all this attention, and he's an athletic freak, and he's going to put up insane stats. So Jamin Davis, I don't know what his odds are, but Kentucky, former Cat, go Cats, Jamin Davis is the defensive rookie of the year.
His odds are 9-1. He's playing in an elite defense in a division where they should find their way to either win it or be very close to winning it. So he's going to get a lot of attention playing behind a great defensive line as well. I don't fault you for that pick. I think it's an excellent selection. I'll go Patrick Surtain, the first-round rookie cornerback out of Alabama who landed with the Denver Broncos. He's 8-1. I'm not exactly going out on a limb, but playing in Denver in a Vic Fangio defense with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller rushing the passer, I think they're going to be able to create a lot of pressure opportunities that lead to some bad decisions on the part of opposing quarterbacks. That could lead to some big interceptions for Surtain. He's got the big name already. His father played in the league, so he's easily recognizable. Again, that type of thing helps with the narrative. Patrick Surtain, 8-1 for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Good stuff. There you go. Good answers to all these questions. I hope you wrote them down. That was
we are hot
wireless,
right now.
No contract, no compromise. A lot of stuff going on throughout the league. We talked yesterday about whether or not Cam Newton would find another home. We also have gone into Dak Prescott a lot. But I want to ask you about something I heard Tony Romo say. I like Tony Romo. He's become sort of the what was the guy that Johnny Carson did on The Tonight Show when he would stick the envelope up to his head?
Oh, that's kind of before my time, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's
what
I'm dating myself.
Something?
The great Swami or something. The great Karnak. Thank you very much.
Karnak.
The great Karnak. That's how Romo has become like that. He just sits. He's able to predict the plays in the future. He's also a great announcer. But that doesn't mean that everything he says is correct. Like sometimes we're like, oh well, if he said it, it must be correct. Because I heard him say that Zach Wilson was the closest quarterback in this class and one of the closest quarterbacks in years, maybe the closest, to being Patrick Mahomes. And I wanted to go and say, hey, are you okay, Tony? Did you not get enough time in the offseason to rest? Look, I don't know if Zach Wilson's going to be good or not. He still looks like my little brother. But whatever he is, we haven't seen an athletic freak like Patrick Mahomes. You think that's a little much?
I do, but given Romo's track record and how well he knows the position, I think it's important to sit there and give the comments weight, because I don't think Romo's the type of guy who's going to say something for the sake of making a headline. He's going to say something for the sake of getting a rise out of people. I think if that's his true assessment, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I enjoy listening to him on the broadcast. I think he's done a fantastic job. I also think we're in this culture now where we feel the need where we have to draw these comparisons, right? I don't think there's anyone who you can compare to Patrick Mahomes, because Patrick Mahomes is unique. Patrick Mahomes is a one of a kind. Patrick Mahomes is doing things we've never seen NFL quarterbacks do before. That's what makes him Patrick Mahomes. So naturally, if he's at the top of his craft and he's kind of changed the game and he's brought this unique flavor to the position, the next time a bunch of rookies come out and someone like Romo is asked, well, who reminds you of Patrick Mahomes, or what does Zach Wilson remind you of? You're going to gravitate to that. No one wants to say, well, he reminds me of Jeff George. He reminds me of Ryan Leaf, right? You always want to take a positive approach. You want to take a positive approach, at least with the guys who haven't played a game yet. So I think that's what Romo's going. But that's a very tall task for a young kid in New York City who doesn't have anywhere near the weaponry that Mahomes had when he landed with Andy Reid in Kansas City a few years ago.
I'm still going on the green and white game that they played. When I heard how bad Zach Wilson was, I am not giving anywhere. Look, could Zach Wilson be good? Yes. Could he be really good? Yes. Could he be a star? Yes. He's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. I'll put that down. I'll circle it. I'll star it. I'll flip it and reverse it. There's no chance he's that good. And Tony Romo, I like you, even though we've never met. I'm sure we would be great friends. That is a silly statement. Now, Keyshawn Johnson was on this show yesterday, and he was talking about the Arizona Cardinals. I think they're Arizona now. They go back and forth between Phoenix based on the whims of the Cardinal ownership. But Keyshawn was saying that this is a big year for Cliff Kingsbury, and that there's one big problem.
Well, the system is garbage as a whole. I don't like it. I've never liked it. You go all the way back to college, which is a different game than the pros. What has this system won? It puts up a lot of points and a lot of yards and statistics, whether it's Texas Tech, Washington State, Mississippi State, Kentucky with Hal Mumme years ago, whatever it is, SMU, Cal. It wins nothing.
It wasn't very nice throwing Kentucky in there. We won a lot when we played that style. Keyshawn, by the way, joined us yesterday here on this show, and Max Kellerman will be joining Keyshawn and Jay Will on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max starting on Tuesday. I, though, agree with him in terms of Cliff Kingsbury's system. I've been a Cliff Kingsbury hater. I think it has to do with how good his hair is. I also think he's way too arrogant and has done nothing worth it. I mean, he didn't even win at Texas Tech. That's the thing that's crazy about him to me. It's one thing to hire Urban Meyer. I don't think that's going to work either. But at least Urban Meyer won. Cliff Kingsbury didn't even win, and they hired him. I think for Kyler Murray, I kind of hope it doesn't work out this year so I can get him a coach and a coordinator that will play a system he can excel in.
Yeah, there was this big rush, and there still is to an extent, to grab anybody who's ever shook hands with Sean McVay and hire them as your head coach and hope that they can do what Sean McVay did in L.A. The problem is that McVay cut his teeth in the NFL when he was young. He was under John Gruden. He was under Mike Shanahan. He learned from some of the best. Cliff Kingsbury played quarterback, but Cliff Kingsbury has had no success anywhere. Think about this for a second. At Texas Tech, he did worse than both Tommy Tuberville and Mike Leach. All right? Not to say that those are bad coaches, but he didn't excel past either one of them in terms of winning percentage. He did nothing from a postseason perspective. And a lot of people don't remember this. He had Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback and did nothing. He also had Baker Mayfield at Texas Tech, and Baker Mayfield transferred.
Preach.
So this guy got nothing out of either one of those players whatsoever. He gets a job in Arizona. His game management is awful. Look at the game last year at home against Miami where they flushed it late because of some of his decision-making. They flushed the New England game. You take so many different components, and you ask yourself, if he's not willing to innovate and to take the next step in his development as a head coach, that team has no chance. And that's sad because they've got weapons for days. If you have Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, they brought in A.J. Green. I know he's on the downside of his career, but he can still contribute something. Chase Edmonds at running back, everything they need, they've got. And if they can't produce and compete at a playoff level this year, you probably got to look for someone else, especially if Kingsbury's game management doesn't get any better.
And let's be real. Here's why he got the job, okay? He knew Sean McVay. He kind of looked like him, like he was handsome, and he spiked his hair up. If that dude just looked like a Joe on the street, if he looked like just a random person, I'm just being serious, though. Like, being good-looking is part of it.
Why you got to use the name Joe? Why can't he look like a John?
Well, okay. Well, that's right. True. Let's say a less handsome Joe than you.
Okay,
then he
you.
Wouldn't have gotten the job. He just wouldn't. And that's the point of why I say this is not – He never was worthy of that job. It's a Lane Kiffin situation. He should go back to college, learn to coach, and then come and see us again the next time around. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And coming up, college football week one is underway. Last night, there's a lot more this weekend. A great set of games. You can just sit on your couch on Saturday and be excited. But I want to ask you a question. Did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Don't act like you knew that. You didn't know that. Well, maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. That's movement you need. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. Now in September, he started his IT career working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. I haven't met Ryan, but things are going well for him. Here's a prime opportunity to go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an IT pro. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. And congrats to Ryan, getting it done in September. College football is here, and we'll tell you more about who you need to watch next on The Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It is The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh in for Max, Sirius XM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN. We'd love to hear what you got to say. This weekend preview, though, is brought to you by Bank of America's customized cash rewards credit card. Earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Copyright 2021, Bank of America Corporation. I knew I was desperate for football last night when UCF Boise was delayed due to storms, and I turned on Citadel versus Coastal Carolina and was starting to break down the Citadel problems in their defensive line. And I said, okay, this is something I've been desperate for. But college football is back, and Alabama is, of course, always the story because they're the best program, and they face Miami in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. The Tide are looking for their seventh title in 13 years, which in modern college football is an amazing statistic. Alabama used to be like a lock of all locks to cover in game one, and then they haven't the last 2 years. But I always take Alabama in first half spread every game, and I feel good about it. How do you see, Joe, Alabama-Miami? It's a 19-point spread. Does Miami have anything for them, or is this just another Tide rolling Tide situation?
I find myself leaning to Miami in the points. You can find 19.5. Some 20s crept up earlier in the week, but those were mostly snatched up, and the number came back down to 19.5. I know a bookmaker here in Las Vegas. His name is Chris Andrews. He's been doing this for a long time. He works down the street at the South Point. And he hung this number 2 months ago for the games of the year when they put up all the big games in the middle of the summer. And he hung Alabama minus 13. And that immediately got bet all the way through 14, through 17, etc. The point I'm getting at here is Chris can be off by a couple points from time to time, but to be off by 6.5, I don't know if that's necessarily the case for a veteran bookmaker. They know the Alabama money is coming in. Alabama has treated those who have backed them very well over the years. And Nick Saban is 11-2 against the spread in the first game of the season since he took over in Tuscaloosa. But this is a huge number, and you're replacing 8 starters on offense, including offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian, who left to take the head coaching job at the University of Texas. Last year, they were replacing Tua Tagovailoa and some key pieces. They went on the road to play Missouri. They scored 38 points in that game. It was their lowest output of the entire regular season, and they didn't cover the spread. De'Eriq King back for Miami at quarterback. They returned 19 starters. The mobile quarterback, the athletic quarterback, has been a bit of an Achilles heel for the Nick Saban defense in recent years. Think Johnny Manziel, think Deshaun Watson. So I find myself liking Miami plus 19.5. But Matt, I got to be honest, how much can you really like it knowing what's on the other side of the field?
Yeah, 11-2 against the spread in the first game is important, but the last two were both the losses. So they had 11 straight and then lost the last two. I kind of throw last year out because the season, you had like 2 weeks to get ready. You didn't know who you were going to play. It's not like you had the entire offseason like they do most years to play. I don't know what Chris at South Point or whatever his name is. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. Chris at South Point, I wish you nothing but the best. Next time I'm in Vegas, I'll buy you a hamburger. But you're crazy if you think that 13 is the right number. Alabama's going to roll here. Now, it may be close for a half. You are correct in saying that over history, the mobile quarterback has hurt Alabama, but that's changed even in the last couple years. They've been much better about that recently. I just De'Eriq King is fine. Everybody's fine. It's still the Tide. And I'm just telling you this. I don't do Alabama on a game-by-game basis. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm in Alabama every game, and over time, I'm going to win. Now, of course, sometimes I'm going to lose, but I'll still take it game-by-game, and I'm going to win more often than I'm going to lose. So I'm taking Alabama. If you ask me if I'm going to take Alabama against the spread next week, I'm going to take Alabama. I'm going to keep doing that all year. And, Joe, at the end of the year, I'll bet you dollars to donuts I will have a winning record and will have made money betting on Alabama.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on that one. The other angle that's been profitable is the one you hit on at the beginning, Alabama in the first half. Now, I might exercise some caution in this game. When you're breaking in a new offense like this, there could be some stumbling blocks. Remember, Ohio State last night at Minnesota, there were some stumbling blocks in the first half. But then they got their legs under them in the second half, and they blew the doors off of Minnesota, scoring on seemingly every play they ran in the second half. So I would say be cautious now, but over the last few years, the Alabama first half number has just been gold for those who have been following it.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. The game of the night tomorrow is Georgia and Clemson. They are two of the nation's best programs. They go head-to-head. And the loser, well, if Clemson loses, they may be on the chopping block for the playoff. Georgia could probably lose, and if they won out, still make it. But it's a big game. And it's a game for Georgia that I think is a game to sort of say, you know what, we're legit. If you talk to Georgia fans, they believe that when you talk college football programs that are the best, they should be in the conversation. I always say there are tiers. Tier one is Alabama. No one else is on that tier. Then it's Clemson and Ohio State. Then it's Oklahoma. And then it's Georgia. There are gaps between each one. If you look at the last few years, Georgia believes, however, okay, maybe we're not Alabama, but we're the same as Clemson and Ohio State. We should be up there with them. Joe, this is their chance to show it. They're the only one of the power programs with an experienced quarterback. They've got an advantage that the other power programs don't have. It's their time. If they're going to be real, they got to go win this game.
And there's a lot to be excited about, and for good reason. When you see the transformation the offense went through last year, pre-JT Daniels versus post-JT Daniels, it was remarkable. This was a team that went 4-2 to open the season, scoring 29 points per game. They make the transition to JT Daniels at quarterback. They go 4-0 the rest of the way out, scoring 37 points per game. The offense took a huge step forward. You know with Kirby Smart, you're going to get an elite defense. But now if the offense is going to be able to play at a high level, this could be a very dangerous football team. The problem is that wide receiver George Pickens, the best on the roster, blew out his knee in the spring, and Eric Gilbert, the tight end transfer from LSU, has been away from the team for personal issues for a while. So you're going to be down a few guys on offense. I think ultimately this is going to be a very, very physical football game. I think everyone's going to be fighting for every inch, kind of like the Tide in LSU a few years back, but not necessarily to that point. I would say lower scoring game, because you got to remember something. Clemson's got 9 players coming back from last year's defense, and the last time we saw them, Ohio State was hanging 49 on him in the college football playoff. I think that left a really bad taste in Brent Venables' mouth. I think it's going to be all about field position. Punters might be winning MVPs tomorrow.
You know, when people have defenses where teams scored 49 and then I hear they have 9 guys back, part of me goes, maybe you don't want him back. I mean, they gave 49 to Ohio State on some level. The thing about this game to me is college football, much more so than the NFL, and really maybe more so than any sport, institutional memory is key because there are so few games. They have such huge importance because there are so few games that are actually close where the two programs are, that every time you play one, it sticks for like a decade. You use it in recruiting for a decade. And Georgia and Clemson are right next to each other. I mean, I know they're different states, but they're right next to each other, and they feel a rivalry, and Clemson has passed them, and they hate it. They hate it. If you're going to be Georgia, if you're not going to be the perpetual second-place team you've been for 20 years, you better win this one. Bubba tells me I can't say anything else about it, and I listen to Bubba, so I'm going to leave it right there and tell you that thousands out there have been affected by Hurricane Ida urgently, and they urgently need support. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN and help the Red Cross respond and help people recover from the disaster. Coming up, Vegas has a lot of thoughts on this weekend's college football games, and Joe has games that he believes in. I've already seen them. One of them he is insane to have picked. I'm going to berate him about it. But first, 5G is here, and the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, I, Matt Jones, say don't do that anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month, no contract, and you get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, and it's all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. It's Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise, 5G-capable device required, actual availability and coverage and speed may vary. Joe has five best bets. I like four of them. The fifth is crazy. We'll go over it next here on The Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It is The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. Matt Jones, Joe Fortenbaugh in for Max Kellerman, 888-SAY-ESPN. And ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if there's a game, somebody's betting on it. You can bet on that. So stream season two of Better Days, the Mike Greenberg-hosted series that brings the true stories of unforgettable gambling adventures to life. All episodes are now streaming only on ESPN+. Every week, we like to try to gamble a little bit on college football. I'm of the belief the weeks to make money in college football are week two and three. You can really make money on week one, but you got to be on it, and there are weird results every week on week one. So the true gamblers like to stick out their neck on week one, and Joe Fortenbaugh is one of those. He has his best bets, so let's go over a few of them, Joe. Give me your best bet of week one.
Kansas State -3 versus Stanford. Neutral site game, Jerry World, Arlington, Texas. This is mostly a bet against Stanford versus anything else. There's a reason Vegas put their win total at 4.5. They are not going to be good this year. And any skill that they had on offense last year is gone via graduation or the NFL draft. This is an offense that was struggling to keep up in the 80s with the way they did things. In 2020, it is more than outdated. They're going to go against the Kansas State team that is in year three of the Chris Klieman experience. 10 starters are back on offense, and that's an offense, mind you, that beat Oklahoma last season. This game opened with Stanford as a small favorite. It has since moved all the way to Kansas State -3. I like the Wildcats to get it done tomorrow in Texas, Matt.
The Chris Klieman experience. That's not an experience I've ever been a part of, but I will tell you, Kansas State, they're feast or famine. If you look at their record over the years, they beat Oklahoma, but they've lost to bad teams. I like Kansas State, though, although I cannot imagine that Jerry World is going to be filled during Kansas State-Stanford. You talk about a game where I bet good seats are still available. That would be one of them. What's your next one?
All right, let's go LSU versus UCLA. I like the Bruins plus the field goal here. This opened LSU -4. It has since been moving down because it's been nothing but UCLA money. It actually moved through the key number of 3 to 2.5, but then came back up to 3. UCLA had a week to knock the rust off last Saturday against Hawaii when they blew the doors off of the Rainbow Warriors. This is a UCLA team that I think is undervalued. 20 starters are back from last year's team, which went 3-4. But go deep inside those box scores. Those four losses came by a combined 15 points. UCLA was in every single game it played last season. 2 years ago under Chip Kelly, they were scoring only 26 points per game. Last year under Chip Kelly, 35 points per game. They continue to get better. LSU hasn't played yet. Brand new offensive coordinator, brand new defensive coordinator. A lot's up in the air, and that defense is going to struggle to stop the run, in my opinion, which is something UCLA does very well. I will take the Bruins with the points. The Tigers are on upset alert.
Yeah, that's all well and good. What conference is LSU in?
LSU would be in the Southeastern Conference.
And what conference is UCLA in?
The good old Pac-12.
End of story. The SEC beats the Pac-12. When the SEC plays the Pac-12, the Pac-12 gets embarrassed. That's just the way it goes. Go through history. The worst SEC teams beat the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is minor league football. The SEC is major league football. And if you think the LSU Tigers with Ed Orgeron are going to lose to UCLA, who's been spending all their time in Hollywood sitting there getting tanned and not being ready for the guys from the Bayou, you are crazy. LSU not only covers the three, they win easily. This is my pick of the week the other way. I like LSU so much that I will take LSU over any game during this. UCLA simply cannot beat LSU. Not going to happen.
Interesting. All right. Might have to have a friendly wager on it. I'm sure you and I will see
friendly
each other
wrong. What's your next one, Joe?
All right. Next one's going to be Notre Dame minus the points. They're playing against Florida State in Florida State. I'm taking the Seminoles plus the 7.5. It's come down to 7. I want the 7.5 if you can find it. Notre Dame's coming into this matchup with only 9 starters from last year's team, only 3 of which are on the offensive side of the ball. They lost 140 combined starts along the offensive line. Year 2 of Mike Norvell in Tallahassee. Remember, rookie coaches last year, they didn't get a lot of time to work with their teams. Throw out those results. He's had a full spring with these guys. 17 starters are back. And remember, first game in Tallahassee since the loss of the great Bobby Bowden. That place is going to be rocking. Give me the Seminoles plus 7.5 against Notre Dame.
I'm interested to see if the Seminoles are real. I agree. I love this pick, but the Seminoles haven't played well in 5 years in a game that's mattered, so I want to see it. I'm going to stay away, but if I was going to bet it, I'd go with you in this, but I need to see it. We're going to have more great bets later in the show. Back to the NFL next on Max Kellerman.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.